This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Next month marks 2 years since 40,000 tons of coal ash and 27 million gallons of contaminated water flowed into the Dan River at a Duke Energy site. The electric utility giant has been working to clean up the coal ash at multiple sites across North Carolina. The state categorized Duke Energy's coal ash facilities as either high risk or low to intermediate. It's currently cleaning up the four high-risk sites, including the Dan River, but progress has stalled at other sites. Meanwhile, some residents are still afraid to drink out of their tap. Dave DeWitt is WUNC's environment reporter. He's been following the story. Welcome back, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
2 years ago, remind us what happened.
It was Super Bowl Sunday morning, February 2nd, 2014, when the Dan River, we got news about the Dan River leaking coal ash into the Dan River. The Dan River site is actually north of the Dan River. There are a lot of different pits there, a lot of different stacks of coal ash there as well. And what happened was a stormwater pipe that they didn't even know existed that ran underneath one of the watered ponds cracked, coal ash filled into it, out into the Dan River. And that really is what started sort of all of this. Imagine sort of the multi-billion dollars worth of activity that's going to occur. Electric bills that may or may not go up, all of that kind of started on that day. If that had not happened, the only people at that point raising a stink about coal ash was the Southern Environmental Law Center, which knew that, not necessarily that particular location, but knew that coal ash in general was a problem that we should be paying attention to. There was a large spill back in the 2000s in Tennessee that scared people, but that had sort of passed out of most people's memories. And until Dan River happened, that it wasn't something that people kept front of mind.
So we start questioning the toxicity levels of coal ash, how we store it, and how it could be made safer. And, of course, the immediate question, how do we clean up this mess? The Dan River site is categorized as a high-risk site. That's one of four in the state, high-risk sites. How's the cleanup going on those sites?
You know, ash is on the move at those sites, whether by truck or by rail. Duke Energy has to have it all excavated and into lined landfills by 2019. The company recognized pretty early on with the Coal Ash Management Act, which is what happened sort of in the immediate aftermath. Because what we didn't mention, of course, the Dan River situation is complicated politically by the governor having worked at Duke Energy for 29 years. And the Dan River in Eden, North Carolina, is in the back yard of Phil Berger, who heads the Senate. So these weren't something that wasn't something they could ignore, even if they wanted to. It was happening to their people and in their situation. So the Coal Ash Management Act gets passed. All of these things, these deadlines are met, or are going to have to be met. Duke Energy sees right away, if we're going to meet 2019 with these high-risk sites, we really need to be moving things. And so they have pushed really hard. The regulatory things have been sort of stuck between the Department of Environmental Quality and the EPA. There's all kinds of hurdles and things, hurdles that are popping up. But Duke Energy really has done a quick job of making sure these things are, this stuff is getting moved. I had an opportunity to go to the Dan River site and see what they've built infrastructure-wise. They've built the rail lines in. They've got a sort of this, ballet that goes on with big trucks moving ash out of stacks and then into the rail cars. And then at the same time, other trucks are moving them in. They get the rail cars out, bring in new rail cars. They are doing things at Dan River and other those high risk sites. And as I said, they have to be done with those sites by 2019.
And what happens to the coal ash?
It goes to lined landfills. In Dan River, most of it's going to a landfill in Virginia. But of course, we know that there's some lined landfill sites that have been proposed and are now operating here in North Carolina in Lee and Chatham counties. Some of it's going to South Carolina, where it's already sort of permitted to go. So a lot of it will go out of state. But once they get to beyond these four sites and they get to some bigger sites and they get to some, that is an ongoing question. Where is this coal ash going to go?
Well, that's where it's going to go. Let's talk about those other sites then. A lot of quick work going on in those four sites designated as high risk. 10 low to intermediate sites, and there seems to be no coal ash moving out of those.
They still haven't completely classified what they are. They intermediate or low. They created the DEQ, this is created low intermediate because they didn't have enough information on some of these sites. But imagine living in or around one of these sites. There's the Lee plant. There's the Buck Steam Station. There are these places where they're designated as either low or intermediate. But these folks have gotten letters that say, don't drink your water due to the elements that are in the in coal ash, chromium 6 and vanadium. And in fact, one of them, Deborah Graham, lives in Salisbury. She told me about the time that she first realized that her water was unsafe.
And I thought of all the food I had cooked for my children who are now grown. I thought about all the food I had cooked and took up to the church. I thought about what I had made for supper last night. When we look at our faucet, we look at fear.
You know, that's Deborah Graham. She had a reaction to getting the letter for the Department of Health and Human Services that told her these two elements are in your water at levels that exceed the state of North Carolina's levels. Your water is unsafe to drink.
What's the timetable for cleaning them up then?
The timetable that's been set, and it's very loose, is beyond that, depending on where they get set up, it'll be the 2023, 2025, or they'll be capped in place. So they may be cleaned up sooner than that, probably later than that, because we're already hearing from a lot of lawmakers and some folks at Duke Energy and the Department of Environmental Quality, really, we may need some more time to correctly permit these things, to make sure that when they dewater, they get the water that's on top of the coal ash off or decant these things, that they're doing that safely. So there are a lot of things, and there's no blueprint for this. They can't go to another state and go, well, this is how Oklahoma did it.
Well, we've heard about problems between EPA and DEQ getting sort of regulatory permission. What's the problem?
Well, the problem is they have very different ideas on how these things should be done. And what's happened now is there's open animosity, really, on the part of folks at the Department of Environmental Quality. Tom Reeder was discussing this with a commission at the legislature a couple weeks ago, and he sort of described — he's the deputy secretary of DEQ — he described how he feels about the EPA.
That water in there probably has chromium or vanadium in it that would exceed the DHHS screening levels. DHHS was just trying to point out the risk to people inherent in some of these things.
Now, that's Tom Reeder. He's talking there about he found some water that's tap water behind him, saying this tap water may have more of the bad elements in it than what they're finding in these wells that we just heard from Deborah Graham that she has in her water. And what this means is that from a regulatory standpoint, DEQ says we've got all these plans. We want to get these plans going. The EPA has to sign off on them. They're not doing it quickly enough. The EPA says what you're saying isn't safe. It isn't something we should be doing. DEQ blames a lot of these delays on the EPA.
We are taking a look at coal ash cleanup, doing an update today on the state of things. Environment reporter Dave DeWitt is with us. Well, but in that cut, he seemed to say, look, we've got these standards. It shows there are high levels, but I don't quite understand what he means. I mean, those are the standards. Shouldn't we be – we set the standards because we're worried that beyond that it's unsafe?
Well, that's an interesting point, because the standards in North Carolina for these two elements vanadium and chromium 6 are some of the lowest in the country. Only California has standards that are as tough on these two elements. Many states and the federal government don't have any standards for these two elements. And one of them is, if you remember the Aaron Brockovich movie and all that, chromium 6 is that element that was seemed to be causing cancer. DHHS set the levels for what are safe and unsafe on these two elements long before the coal ash issue came up. And so you've got these two state governmental organizations, DHHS and DEQ, who are operating sort of in different worlds. DHHS is the one that sends the letters out saying, your well water, we tested it, it's above these levels. DEQ says those levels are too low. I could get water from any place in the state, whether it's well water or city water, and they would probably test higher than what the well water is testing outside of these coal ash plants. So what it basically points out is there's a lot of argument, scientific argument, about what these elements, you know, how much they're in there, what's causing it. Is it the coal ash or is it naturally occurring? Because these elements are naturally occurring. And then, obviously, what should be done about it?
All right. And give us, a rough timeline. When do we expect some of these other sites to be cleaned up?
Well, later this month, DEQ is coming out with its official or more, once they get the more information, of what the classifications are going to be for each coal ash facility. Once those coal ash facilities get a classification, then it goes through a whole nother process through the legislature. If the Coal Ash Management Commission ever comes back to fruition — it's right now it's held up in legal limbo between the governor and the legislature — then it will get involved in making sure that each coal ash site gets a classification. Once that happens, depending on whether it's high, medium, or low, they'll start excavating and devising a plan for each individual facility.
You talked about the, but let's talk about the political implications of this. First, the divide between the governor and the legislature on this issue.
Right. And this is going to be an issue in the election coming up. There's no doubt about that. This has been headlines for a lot of years, or not a lot of years, 2 years now. And, you know, Duke Energy's connection to the governor and vice versa. There's a lot of conversations about, you know, Duke Energy and the Department of Environmental Quality, are they too cozy, or is DEQ even being too hard on them in some way? So, you know, it's more than anything else, the environment never really becomes a top of campaign issue. It's always education, spending, taxes. This year it probably will be, at least for the governor. Whether it will be sort of down ticket into some of the legislative races, it's probably unlikely. Although a lot of the folks who are supportive in general of a lot of things that Duke Energy might be doing also live and represent areas that are being affected. That's the thing. These 14 sites are scattered across North Carolina. They're not any in any particular location. So every legislator has some impact from these sites and from this controversy.
Dave, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Ray.
Environment reporter Dave DeWitt. Just ahead, we explore outer space and find out why one astronomer at least is confident that humans will find the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence in the next 25 years. By the way, we're going to take your phone calls about your expectations for finding intelligent life outside of the Earth. And I know you can place your joke here, but really we want to talk about ET Beyond Earth. SOT at WUNC.org is the email address. SOT 1-877-962-9862 if you want to join that conversation. Or you can tweet us at hashtag SOTET. And you'll hear more on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.